nowadays people are talking about it in schooling, they're talking about anxiety, mental health, whereas, I don't know, growing up, if you were ever exposed to that, I would assume not. So do you think it's more of a culture shift or more of a an educational like understanding of this?
I think the cultural shift drove the educational understanding. I think there were enough tipping points where, you know, people were finally able to say, hey, this happened to me. I mean, like, I first wrote my article when, in 2014, Robin Williams committed suicide. And, like, I was like, Robin Williams? Like, he's funny, he's happy, he's amazing. And I was like, holy shit, if he can have that. And I knew I had been suffering my whole life. But I just felt like, okay, the facade is starting to crack. Like, people need to understand there's a lot more going on that nobody's addressing. And then you start to read the statistics, like, 25% of people in the world have some sort of mental health issue. It's like, holy shit, 1 out of 4 people have something wrong and we're not even talking about it. And then in 2018, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade killed themselves within a week of each other. And that's when I wrote the Hollywood Reporter article. It was basically the same one. I just, you know, changed it a little bit. But it just felt like all of these public figures who everybody looked to as amazing and healthy and successful were miserable and depressed and, you know, had to deal with it. And I feel like there has been, in the last 3 or 4 years, a cultural shift, and which again has affected and impacted education and training and new ways of looking at mental health. I mean, there's now, for a long time, suicidality was looked at in conjunction with other diseases. Like, if you're depressed, you are prone to suicide. Suicide is caused by depression or anxiety or fear or something. Now they're actually looking at suicidality as its own diagnosis, as its own disease in and of itself. And therefore they can treat it differently. I can send you an article I just read about it. It's actually fascinating. Where they're trying to figure out, like, okay, well, if we looked at it not as a byproduct of some emotion or feeling or distress, but looked at it, you know, and now they're starting to realize, like, oh yeah, we've actually misdiagnosed it in a lot of ways because, you know, they do studies where they say, like, well, they do questionnaires, like, are you feeling suicidal now? And like 65% of people who said no, 65% of people who ended up killing themselves had said no the day before. So it happens really fast. It comes up on a lot of people really fast. And so they're learning to look at it as its own thing. So I think that it's driving a lot of new approaches and just new thinking about mental health and mental health issues.
You're very open about talking about all of this. Why is that?
I need to destigmatize this for myself and for everybody else. I mean, I felt so ashamed of being depressed. I felt like I said, when I was growing up, you know, in the 70s and 80s, man, you were something really wrong with you if you saw a psychiatrist. Like, that was shameful. And so I don't want to feel that way anymore. And I don't want other people to feel that way. And I realize, like, you know, people your age, it's great, you know, feel a lot less shame about that. But honestly, maybe in New York City they don't feel shame. I don't know if that's true in Iowa. If, like, you know, you have a town of 3,000 people. Huh?
We're in our own bubble.
We're in a bubble. Yeah. I mean, like, we're very sophisticated. We're exposed to, you know, great minds and acceptance and great medicine. Like, if you're living on a fucking farm, I mean, maybe social media has helped in terms of sort of spreading that stuff, but there's still a long way to go. There's still a lot of toxic masculinity. Everybody, oh, it'd be tough just to... And I just feel like I look at it like, it's fun because the second pharmacologist who recommended ECT, I said, you know, he's like, look, you may have these side effects where you have short-term memory loss and you may not be able to go to work. And I was like, wait, I can't tell them I can't go to work for a month. What am I going to say? He's like, what if you had to have bypass? What if you had, you know, a heart problem and you had to have a stent put in? You'd tell them you were going to be in the hospital. And they'd be like, okay, your insurance will cover it. He's like, this is the exact same thing. You just need to get healthy. You're sick. You need to get cured. And that involves medicine. And I just feel like, again, I try not to, like, overdo it, like, walk up to strangers in the subway and say, like, let me tell you about ketamine. But if it's an appropriate forum, I want people to know. I want people to know they're not alone, because that's the other insidious thing about depression. Not only does it make you feel like shit, it makes you feel isolated. It makes you feel like nobody cares, like you're alone, you're never going to get out of it. It's very totalitarian and black and white. Like, I'll feel like shit for the rest of my life. It's never going to end. So hopefully by talking about it, I can make people understand, like, somebody out there and there is help.
what do you think institutions like this should be doing to educate their student body on topics, like hard topics such as anxiety, depression?
You know, bringing people in to speak about it, having school psychologists, you know, incorporated into classes, I think having a curriculum that includes discussions about this, education about this, you know, part of science should be, you know, biology maybe should be mental health and psychiatry, you know, that's part of our bodies too. And I think just, you know, normalizing it is so important. And it's interesting, you know, when I try to normalize it almost, and by doing so, I almost make people my age uncomfortable. So, you know, if somebody my age is like, oh, you know, can we meet for lunch at this time? And I, instead of saying like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment, or, oh, I can't make it, I'll say, actually, I am a therapist at that time. Can we go afterwards? And there, you could see for a second, they're like, wait, you didn't just admit that, did you? And I just say it very casually, as if I were saying like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment, or, you know, oh, I have another meeting. You just make it normal. You just normalize it. You have to. And that's the only way to do it, because it is normal. Everybody has it or knows somebody with it. And the only way to make it better is just to attack it.
It's interesting, because if I were to say that to one of my friends, if I were to say I'm going to go see a therapist, which I have before, I don't think I'd be met with that sort of...
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And
that's exactly... Which is great.
It's a perfect example of how the culture shift has happened. And,
absolutely. Absolutely. I guess for my generation, I'm trying to get them not to be ashamed and to remove the stigma.
Right, yeah.
For your generation, for younger people who are not as ashamed, but, you know, still have problems,
yeah.
I want to offer solutions. Like, hey, sometimes, again, depression will do this no matter how old you are, make you feel alone, make you feel hopeless, make you feel like there's no option. But if I'm able to talk to you and say, well, you know what, I tried this, and I tried this, and I tried this, and I tried this, and this finally worked, or I'm doing DBT, which is a form of CBT. I don't know if you know what DBT is. It's dialectical behavioral therapy, and it's sort of teaches you, it's based in mindfulness, but it teaches you different skills for how to deal with social situations. It's awesome. And so both my kids are in DBT. My sister's in DBT. And so just kind of making people aware of the tools that are out there, and that not every modality works for everybody, but if you try a bunch of them, you will find something that works. A lot of people are like, my only option is medication, or my only option is talking to a psychiatrist. And so I still feel like I have a lot to add to the conversation, because I've been doing this shit for 35 years, and I can say, well, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this. Don't give up. There's something out there that can help. So maybe it's not destigmatizing, but maybe it's just education.
Would you be willing to come in and talk with
100%
our school?
100%.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. We were curious to hear your thoughts on social media, because you brought up, on one hand, it can be a place where people can be educated and not feel isolated. But on the other hand, it can be a platform for bullying. And what are your thoughts on that? Can a balance be achieved where you can be educated and also not be bullied? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, having worked in digital media my whole career, I mean, I used to be CEO of College Humor, and we loved social media because it got our videos out there.
Yeah.
It's really about how you use it, in a way. Like, I mean, if you are being bullied, either get off that platform, either block all those people who are doing that. There's no way to put the genie back in the bottle of, like, social media is going away, obviously. So the only thing to do is to educate people about the best way to use it, and the best way to figure out, you know, what can I get out of it, and when do I need to take a break from it, and when is it... And this is the hard thing, again, if you're, you know, if you can be triggered pretty easily. But again, realizing, like, okay, this person is bullying me because they've got their own problems, and I'm just literally going to turn them off by blocking them, by, you know, getting away from them, maybe just not, you know, deleting that app. I know everybody loves Instagram, but, you know, okay, maybe just take a break from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, limit yourself to an hour a day, and you only look at stories for people who you really know and you trust and you like. And if you miss something, you miss something. Like, if somebody posted something that everybody's talking about, okay, so what, I missed it, but I didn't go down the rabbit hole of, like, all the other horrible shit that's happening. And I've had to do that. I've set up Twitter filters I use Twitter as my newsfeed. It's great for me. Like, I follow news organizations, I follow tech organizations. It's not a social platform for me, But I was getting inundated with like Trump stuff and I had to put in filters for certain words because like I just was so depressed and it wasn't helping. And like, okay, so I missed some news about the latest thing he did, but I needed to take a break from that because I needed to use it to learn about, you know, new technology and what media companies were doing. And I actually have unfollowed a lot of people on Facebook and on Instagram. And, you know, my TikTok feed is very carefully curated because I don't want, you know, all these fucking angry, hating people. It's just not good for me. It's tempting to, like, get sucked into that.
Yeah.
And then you're like, then it kind of gets you riled up. You're like, well, I'm going to fucking show him and I'm going to tell him and I'm going to, and you, that's an absolute no win.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only answer is educating people to be strong about how they use it and being really aggressively careful with themselves, which is so hard because it is designed to be addictive.
Do you put, or have you put like limitations on your daughters or on your kids, or how do you?
I've tried. It's hard. Yeah. You know, look, they have their own phones. One's 12, one's 15. When, you know, the older one goes to school, they do whatever the fuck they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a MetroCard. They say, I'm sleeping over at Donna's tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. And they're gone. So as a parent, I feel like I can only educate as much as possible
mm-hmm.
and say, I mean, look, I follow them on Instagram. Big deal. They have like 6 Finstas. Who cares? Right? I mean, like, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
So, and I can't stop them from creating more if I shut those down. Like, I just have to hope that as a parent, I've educated them well enough to take care of themselves
mm-hmm.
in what is a very scary and Wild West type of environment and be there if they get hurt. But hope that they're doing it in a smart way.
You talked about your efforts to normalize the issue of mental health and teen anxiety. What's the next step for you, like in educating the public? And, you know, what do you? Yeah, what's the next step for you?
It's a good question. I don't know. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday about like, should I write another article? And he was like, I don't know. I mean, you kind of told your story. You could update it with the ketamine stuff and whatever. But I feel like it's honestly just moving through my life and being as open and honest as possible. You know, seeking out speaking engagements
right.
to be able to tell my story.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a podcast for Harvard on this, and like, and it was that was obviously more about like, well, how do you deal with it in business? Which again is a good topic to have. So many people in business have this problem and can't talk about it. I don't think there's anything next in terms of something specific or official. I think it's really just trying to help as much as possible and
mm-hmm.
being a sounding board and answering questions. I mean, it's funny, I was on a train and I sat next to this woman. We started talking and I have a trans kid and she has a trans kid and we were just talking about that. And then I mentioned my article in the Hollywood Reporter and I didn't even talk about depression. But she looked it up and she contacted me and she's like, oh my God, I've been so depressed and I'm thinking about ECT. What do you think? You know, can you help me decide? And I was like, absolutely. So we're still in touch and, you know, so again, I'm just trying to put myself out there to be helpful.
That's great. Any other question?
I think that was awesome.
Okay. Great discussion.
Good. Thank you guys. Yeah, no, but listen, I'm thrilled that you're interested in tackling it.
Yeah.
And talking about it and learning about it. Because, It's amazing and scary and painful and something we all deal with.
Yeah.
I love that idea of possibly bringing you in to talk.
Okay. I appreciate it. I would love to come in and talk.
Yeah.
We'll have to
absolutely
talk.
Love to do that.
The school is very open to always.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
good.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel like the school's dealing with it?
We posed that question to we sent out a survey.
Last week.
To
the whole student body.
Yeah. We have an academy class, I think it's now called Life Skills class. And there was a unit about mental health and teen anxiety, and we watched a TED Talk about viewing anxiety as a positive or negative thing, and that's what kind of spurred this project. Because I felt as though the school is definitely doing more than what's been done in the past.
That's good. What are they doing?
They bring in the school psychiatrist, they bring in like an expert, and they just have discussions about it. People, they'd say, what do you do with your anxiety? How do you deal with it? What are your thoughts on it? And I think just having that discussion is the first step.
And they try to make sure that we as students know that we have options to talk to.
Yeah, we
can talk to any teacher. We have advisors that we can talk to who will follow us throughout all 4 years of our high school. We can talk to our English teacher, our math teacher, it doesn't matter. We can talk to the principal. It's very easy to talk to at this school, which I really like.
Yeah, you see that in the student-teacher relationship, using the first name, not even using Mr. I'm not intimidated to go up to a teacher and say, hey, I'm struggling in this.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. My kids go to friends, and they have the same thing, the first name.
Exactly.
Although my older kid is still intimidated about going up to the teachers. But it's great that it's a much more even relationship.
I think we'll definitely reach out to you.
Great.
Going in there, have an assembly.
Yeah.
I would love that. Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, we'll put a presentation together.
We'll have to talk to
Alexis
and then the principal, and we'll get back to you.
Awesome.
But thank you.
Thanks
very much.
Sure.